And you can take a seat. Well, this morning we have some visitors with us. We'd like to welcome you to Hope College. We know that you've had a busy morning already, and so we're really glad that you have decided to join us for worship, because worship is a really important part of who we are at Hope College. So welcome. One of my favorite parts of my life is getting to watch God's grace grow in your life. It's my favorite part. When I first met our speaker this morning, she was an edgy little sophomore. And as I've walked with her the last couple years, she still has the same necklace and the same sporty attire, but I have witnessed God's grace be planted and grow and blossom in a way that leaves me a little bit speechless. So I'd like to welcome Ashlyn Burnside, our senior witness for today, to the pulpit.
In this world, nothing is certain but death and choices. Bob Goff. I didn't meet God on a mountaintop. I didn't meet God at summer camp, a worship event, a mission trip, or even in a church. I met God through my choices. And that's good news. The last thing I think any of you all want to hear me ramble on about this morning is every little detail of my story. When I first put my trust in Jesus, or when I got my first Bible, or when my ex broke my heart. I've had my fair share of experiences, and I'm sure you've heard of most of them. So I'd like to save you all the sob story and simply tell you a couple examples of choices I and others have made along the way. The first story I would like to share comes from the Gospel of John. Jesus had just risen from the grave and appeared to several people, but not to many of his disciples yet. It reads, "Peter said to several of the other disciples, 'I'm going fishing.' They replied, 'We'll come with you.' So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. When it was already dawn, Jesus was standing on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was him. He called out to them, 'Children, have you caught anything to eat?' They answered him, 'No.' So he said, 'Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you'll find something.' So they cast it, and they were not able to pull it in because of the great number of fish. So John said, 'It's the Lord.' And when Peter heard this, he tucked in his garment and he leapt into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net with the fish." Peter made a choice. He chose to be obedient. He chose to cast his nets on the other side of the boat. And in a matter of moments, a total stranger became his Lord, and he met God. My junior year of college, I had a similar encounter with Jesus. He didn't come to me after a long night of fishing, rather after a very, very long year. Sorry, that is so distracting. That year began the spring semester of my sophomore year with me completely overcommitting myself. My Hope College resume at the time consisted of orientation staff, intramural sports, rush chair of the Dorian sorority, multiple Bible studies, overnight host, dance marathon, Hope College Love Your Melon crew, CASA tutor, Nykirk song girl, 15 hours of work, 18 credits, and I'm sure a few other things that I've forgotten by now, considering how hard I've tried to block that semester out. As I struggled to manage the stress of a never-ending to-do list and far too many people's needs, I began to find a great deal of relief and a mind-numbing drink and an ego-boosting hookup. The girl that wouldn't have been caught dead at a party in high school began to mark her calendar with them every single week. It wasn't long before my nights weren't over unless I had at least kissed someone, but often some three. I justified it all, knowing that there were plenty of people doing far worse. But even in my decisions of where to draw the line, were saturated in pride. I found great satisfaction in taking a number I knew I'd never text or disappearing just when someone thought they were I was about to offer more. The game I was playing was a dangerous one, and it was only a matter of time before I wound up burned. Determined to turn things around, to prioritize God once again in my life, I committed to work at a summer camp and then returned to Hope the next fall as an Emmaus Scholar student. It worked. God was definitely a priority in my life once again. Over the summer, I saw love at work, I was baptized, and I was relieved of temptations I was sure I'd have to battle for the rest of my life. However, if the enemy can't make you stumble, he'll make you busy, and that's just what he did. Once back at Hope in the fall, I was still overcommitted. My grades were still less than what they could be. And to top it all off, I lost my greatest role model, my grandmother, in November. While I was finding incredible Christian community with the Emmaus Scholars Program, my relationship with the Lord was virtually non-existent. I loved talking about Jesus, but I couldn't really seem to talk to Jesus. And things were far from perfect. I was headed into a new year, a new semester, and a new rush season, absolutely terrified. If the fall semester had been as hard as it was, how did I ever expect to survive the season that had pushed me into the darkest time of my life just a year ago? This was when Jesus came to me, telling me to cast my nets on the other side of the boat. He told me to buy a journal, to read my Bible, and to pray. He told me to seek him in the morning, to put him in my calendar at the same time again and again. All I could think was, I don't have time for that, and I've tried it a dozen times. It's gotten me nowhere. But I was desperate, and I had nothing to lose. So I cast every devotional I owned aside. I went to Barnes & Noble, I plucked a journal off the shelf, and I simply began to do as he asked. On the first page of that journal, I wrote, I want more of you. And I experienced nothing short of a miracle. I met God. I met God as I actually began to make the choice to open my Bible and write prayer after prayer to him. He relieved me of all perfection as I simply just wrote in every which direction, right on top of itself until I could hardly even read it. I watched as the alarm I set each morning got pushed further and further back. And the more I prayed, the more I watched the Lord exchange my anxiety for peace, my insecurities for confidence, my lust for purity, my materialism for generosity, my frustration for patience, my judgment for compassion, my thoughts for his voice. He took my will and he gave me his. Jesus became my best friend, the first person I wanted to tell anything. And this all might sound pretty silly or foolish to you all. It would have to me. I used to think that in giving everything I had to Jesus and becoming obedient to him, my life would become boring. But I quickly realized it's the greatest adventure I could ever be on. It's what I was made to do. I used to think that in making time each morning for the Lord, I was sacrificing something. But she is no fool who loses what she cannot keep to gain what she could never lose. And I quickly learned that sacrifice for Jesus isn't sacrifice at all. What we give to him, he multiplies. My question for you today is, where are you casting your net? And at whose command? Only a few days before, Peter heard that stranger on the beach call out to him. He denied his best friend 3 times, betraying Jesus when he needed Peter the most. Peter then watched that same friend crucified and locked away in a tomb. And now, after Peter picks up the nets he so willingly dropped at the beginning of that same friend's ministry, they were still empty. A full night of fishing, and he had nothing to show for it. I have no doubt Peter must have felt so, so less than redeemed. Just a week ago, I also was feeling so, so less than redeemed. I was dealing with, quite frankly, a terrible situation, and it seemed entirely hypocritical to turn around and stand up here to share how the Lord had moved in my life, considering where I was in that moment. I prayed, asking the Lord what on earth I was going to say. Come, join me in this life that is crazy, complicated, and confusing. He said, yes. Tell them that. Tell them how so, so less than redeemed you feel right now. I fell asleep entirely annoyed. But the next morning, I walked into church and something incredible happened. As words of redemption flashed across the screen, my heart skipped a beat and then melted completely as the congregation sang out, "Ash is redeemed, only beauty remains." And it was as if the heavens had opened and Christ was speaking directly to me. In all of this, what I hope you are beginning to grasp is that Jesus is giving us the choice to trust him every single day. Even on days when we feel so empty, so far from him, he is at work. He takes empty nets and he fills them, often at a time when we least expect it. He sees us and he simply says, "Have you tried the other side of the boat?" Finally, I'd like to point out that Peter wasn't fishing alone. The adventure may have been his idea, but it was his friends that dragged the catch to shore. There will be times when your choice to seek Jesus is a goal, but it is far from a strength. Just don't go fishing alone. There will also be times when your choice to make Jesus a priority looks a lot more like making a friend, a neighbor, or a total stranger a priority. Jesus doesn't fill your nets so that you might hoard the catch. He fills your nets that you might share the fish. Every day, we make hundreds of choices. Hundreds. And every single day, we have the choice whether or not we will seek the Lord. Some days, you will feel like it's a total waste of energy. But that's just fine, because Jesus will prove you wrong every single time. It's so much easier to act your way into a feeling than it is to feel your way into an action. Change is hard. Take it from someone who's still trying to rebuild her life in such a way that doesn't include overcommitting herself, running late to literally everything, and responding to people within a decent time frame. The people that are laughing know how true this is. Change is hard. But it often begins with a choice and someone giving us permission to make that choice. Today, I present you all with a choice. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, I give you permission to make a change, to cast your nets on the right side of the boat. I can't tell you exactly what that looks like for you, but I do know this. Jesus is calling. And he's simply saying, "Let me fill your nets. Go in peace."